Well, you know, as today's first Sunday of Advent, right? And thank you to everybody that helped make our sanctuary and our church look like this. It's really beautiful. I've been in the sanctuary when it's been dark and just a tree has been lit. And it's just, it's really nice. And just to always appreciate the Advent season and after we hang the greens, and it just makes the church look so really so beautiful. And however, I just realized I cannot see the clock, so no guarantees at getting out on time today or for the next handful of weeks, because I cannot see that clock. Okay, I think we're doing okay, though. I do have each part of the service. I know about what time it should be, and if it's before or after, you know, sometimes we'll skip a hymn and because of the time, and so yeah, that won't happen because I can't see the time. So anyways, let's get back to the sermon. Advent is a, we find ourselves in the season of Advent. We also think of it as Christmas time. And, you know, what are the differences between, or what is the difference between Advent and Christmas? Well, Advent is a season that precedes Christmas. Advent is the first four Sundays of the Christian calendar, right? The Christian calendar begins with the preparation of the birth of Jesus. And the word Advent literally means coming. And it's a season where we are called to reflect. It's a time of preparation, soul searching, repentance, shopping. Well, not shopping, but, you know. But then Christmas is then the celebration of the birth of Jesus, who is Emmanuel, God with us. And it's in that celebration that we recognize what the Bible says. And there's a passage in John chapter 1, verse 14, that is just, I think, really poignant. And the way the message translates it, right, the Word, Jesus, the Word became flesh and blood and moved into the neighborhood. Now, Christmas is the recognition that, you know, God the Son came to be with us, you know, God wrapped in flesh. But again, so we are finding ourselves in the season of Advent, and it's a time for us to prepare. And part of our preparation during this time is to be thinking about our goals and our dreams, our aspirations, and to assess what we really want in life. You know, what are those things that we strive for, and what do we really need in life? And, you know, the older you get, the more you realize that wants and needs really are separate, and they fall into two very different categories. You know, over the next 4 weeks, we are going to begin a process of unwrapping some of the gifts that exist because of Christmas time, because of God being with us. We'll open these gifts in anticipation or in preparation of that day. With that being said, let's read our scripture for this morning, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 to 18. The Apostle Paul writes, "And now, dear brothers and sisters, we want you to know what will happen to the believers who have died, so that you will not grieve like people who have no hope. For since we believe that Jesus died and was raised to life again, we also believe that when Jesus returns, God will bring back with him the believers who have died. We tell you this directly from the Lord. We who are still living when the Lord returns will not meet him ahead of those who have died. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a commanding shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet call of God. First, the believers who have died will rise from their graves. Then together with them, we who are still alive and remain on earth will be caught up in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. Then we will be with the Lord forever." So encourage each other with these words. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. You know, the context to our message, or this passage this morning, is Paul is speaking to the church in Thessalonica. And Paul only has good things to say about this church. And in fact, in chapter 1, Paul writes this to this church. He says, "We always thank God for all of you and pray for you constantly. And as we pray to our God and Father of you, we think of your faithful work, your loving deeds, and the enduring hope that you have because of our Lord Jesus Christ." You know, it's one thing to remember when we're reading this passage that this is literally the first church, right? This isn't like the first church of Beaver Falls. This is the first church. You know, Concord, we are, what, about 187 years old, whereas the church in Thessalonica is only a handful of years old. And people in the church were beginning to die. And they might have been dying because of persecution. They could have been dying just because of natural causes. But there was this belief in the early church that the faithful would see Jesus physically return. Right? They were waiting. You know, when they were singing, you know, "Come thou long expected Jesus," they were thinking, any day now, Jesus is going to return. But life happens. And death happens. And faithful people started to die. And so they started to ask these questions. What does it mean when someone dies before the second coming of Christ? You know, what does it mean that they're dead and Jesus hasn't returned yet? Would they miss the glory? Would they miss the promise of what Jesus has said? And so Paul's word to them was to give them hope. Hope that death is not too big an enemy for Jesus, that death cannot defeat Jesus. I know there are many in our church that have experienced death recently. Yeah, every week we get phone calls, and I look to Cindy, and it's like, oh, you know, this is tough. You know, it's nobody likes death. In fact, nowhere in Scripture does Jesus ever make light of death. And whether it was recently or last year or 10 years ago, when we think about death and when we think about the death of a loved one, it always stops us short. And it doesn't matter how much knowledge, foreknowledge we have of an impending death or how little knowledge we have of a death, it still catches us off guard. You know, grief doesn't come with an end date. To lose a spouse, to lose a parent, a sibling, or a child, there's no time frame that says, okay, now we're over the grief. And that's why hope is such an important gift to open, because hope is greater than death. You know, Paul's words are for us as much as they were for the Thessalonians. You know, 1 Thessalonians 4:14, "We believe that Jesus died and was raised to life again. We also believe that when Jesus returns, God will bring back with him the believers who died." God will bring back with him. Not maybe. Not perhaps, but that God will. You know, that promise in John 14, that I go ahead of you to prepare a place for you, this is where God is coming to take the people who have died in Jesus. Thank you that God will. Thank you for this hope. But this hope goes beyond the death of a loved one, because it is a promise to us as well. That in our life, if we are anchored in Christ, our eternity is secure. We may or we may not see the day when Jesus returns, but we will be with him. And so when we open this gift of hope, we recognize that hope is not a feeling. Hope is not an emotion to someone who knows Jesus. Because hope is Jesus. Because here's the really good news. Jesus is coming back. And the scripture says, we tell you this directly from the Lord. We who are still living, when the Lord returns, will not meet him ahead of those who have died. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a commanding shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet call of God. First, the believers who have died will rise from their graves. Then, together with them, we who are still alive and remain on the earth will be caught up to the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. Then we will be with the Lord forever. So encourage each other with these words. You know, there are a couple important things I need to point out for us this morning. You know, first, the Lord is going to come down from heaven unmistakably. Right? If you know Jesus, you're not going to miss the event. Right? Scripture says there's going to be this commanding shout, the voice of the archangel with the trumpet call of God. The picture here is that of a bugler in the military summoning the troops. Or perhaps better yet, maybe it's that picture, what I remember growing up in Erie. Like my mom would, and when it was time to come in, my mom would stick her head out the window and whistle. I tell you, I heard that whistle regardless of where I was in the neighborhood. When I heard that whistle, I came home. You know, dinner's ready. It's time to come home. Right? In any case, you come running when you hear that whistle. And when we hear that trumpet, we're going to know. Secondly, the dead and the living believers will be caught up together. The Latin word for this caught up together is raptio. And it's where we get this phrase and this doctrine of the rapture. It's this belief that there will be a day when we will all be caught up together in Christ. Third, and definitely not least, don't miss the important words. Then we will be with the Lord forever. Because this is the great prize. This is the ultimate goal. That on that great day, we will no longer have to search for God. We will no longer feel alone. We will never feel like our prayers aren't getting past the ceiling. We will never again feel afraid or lost because we will be with the Lord. And these are the truths, church, that give us hope. Now think about it this way. When you are headed someplace you've never been before on a vacation, and you can find yourself preoccupied looking for road signs and exit numbers and landmarks, and you get to your destination and you realize you've missed a full journey, right? You've missed a full joy of the journey. On the other hand, when you're traveling someplace, you've been many times before, maybe you're the passenger, you tend to notice what's going on around you. And you see the sights and the beauty. You notice the terrain, and more importantly, you notice the people. Anyway, Paul wants us to understand that if we know when we're going or where we're going when we die, we should be able to find hope in the life here and now. If we understand that death is not the end of the story, but simply a turn in the road to our ultimate destination, death loses its bite. And if we understand that Christ will one day return, we can spend less time trying not to die and more time actually living. I think the crucial question, though, is this. Are you one who is in him? Or are you living apart from him? And if you aren't sure, let me help you clarify. Have you ever recognized that you are a sinful person? And the scripture makes no bones about it. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Every lie, every bad word, every bad thought. You know, there is nothing we can do to erase our sin. Doing what is right doesn't erase the wrong any more than doing your homework in school overcomes the missed assignments. When we do what is good, we are simply doing what is required, and that does not undo the bad. You know, the funeral that we had yesterday for Don Costa, and I talked to Pam after Don had passed away. She said this, and I asked her if I could share this. I'm not sharing anything out of turn. But she said to me, Don knew that he was a sinner. He understood that deeply. But he also understood that the blood of Christ covered his sins. And I've been carrying that with me since that phone call. And it's such a powerful statement, because we recognize the depth of our sin and how much we desperately need Jesus. It's what makes this gift so powerful, so important. And when you realize that the sacrifice of Jesus is your only way to be made right with the Lord, you do see that Jesus was God who became man to give his perfect life as a payment for the sins that you have committed. And if you can recognize that, are you willing to put your trust and your confidence not in your goodness, but in God's gift to you? Are you willing to trust your future to him and follow him in the present? If you trust him, then you are his follower. And you can have this absolute confidence that even though you die, yet shall you live. So there's one more thing. You know, after you have settled this issue in your heart, let somebody else know. Right, this gift of hope is so important, it's too important for us to hold on to cling to, and to not share. Tell your family, tell your friends. Share the hope that you have opened in Jesus. Share hope this Christmas season. Let's pray together. Lord God, we are grateful for you and for the gifts that you give to us. Lord, gifts that we don't deserve, we cannot buy, we cannot earn. And so, Jesus, for this free gift of hope that you offer to us, we are thankful for it. We are thankful, Jesus, that it is not based upon our righteousness, but upon your love for us. And so, Lord, I would pray for anybody here today who doesn't know that, or maybe you never heard it, or who haven't opened your gift. And Jesus, please move and let that person know that how loved they are. And Jesus, help us as we understand this gift of hope, that we would share it with others. Jesus, we pray this in your name. Amen.